It's good to be back in New York. I was walking around and I saw this guy. He was wearing a t-shirt, and in big black letters, the t-shirt said 9/11 was an inside job. But he was whistling. You can't whistle in a 9/11 was an inside job t-shirt. Don't you know what that, the implications of your own clothes? Is that why you bought, like, he just put the shirt on and then he's walking around and he's like, ah, nice day, shadow government. maybe I'll go to Shake Shack. I hope the president doesn't shoot a missile in the Shake Shack. You probably won't. This one's pretty cool.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
More showmanship and yet more vitriol against the media. President Trump delivers his message at a rally in Florida.
The dishonest media, which has published one false story after another, with no sources, even though they pretend they have them, they make them up in many cases, they've become a big part of the problem. They are part of the corrupt system. When the media lies to people, I will never, ever let them get away with it. I will do whatever I can that they don't get away with it. They have their own agenda, and their agenda is not your agenda.
For the thousands of supporters here, his words rang true.
He's right on point because, unfortunately, most of the news media distorts it and twists it to their benefit. You know, they were hoping that Hillary was going to win, and she didn't, and now they're just running like, you know, chickens with their heads cut off because they're just... He's too fast. They can't keep up with him.
What he's doing as a president right now has never been heard of in history in my lifetime, where a president says what he's going to do and commits to it and does it.
The cheers, a grave sign of a people with little trust in the media.
Yeah.
John, thank you. I was curious if the president regrets or wants to clarify his characterization, by the way, I have two questions, of the media as an enemy of the American people.
I think the president has been very clear that certain outlets have gone out of their way to not represent his record accurately, and it is a concern to him. And I think some reporters, he has deep respect for the First Amendment, for the role of the press. I've addressed this multiple times in the past. There's a healthy respect for the press, but I think that it's a two-way street, as I've also said before, and I think that the president understands that certain outlets have gone out of their way to not be completely accurate and fair in their coverage of what's going on.
Thank you. How many years have you been covering the White House, roughly?
20.
20 years. Okay, 20 so years, in your 20 years, yes. We found out that this whole press conference was called when President Trump walked into the Oval Office and told a member of his senior staff, you know, essentially, today's the day. I wanna hold this press conference. It was sort of hastily put together.
Yes.
Have you ever seen anything like this in your 20 years?
Never.
And what was it like being in the room?
Well, first of all, you know, sometimes there are times when they put something together when there is that hidden variable or that variable that comes out of nowhere, and they'll put something together and people assemble. But for a formal, this was a formal press conference in the East Room of the White House. We were told they had 45 minutes. It was so fast in putting it together that the White House press office staff did not have place cards for us. Many of the veteran people or the people who
you're a couple rows the White back. House daily,
I was way back. Many of us who had seats in the briefing room, who have workspace here in the White House, we had to find our way. So I said, okay, I'm in the fourth row. I said, I'm going to get my question in some way or the other. So, but many of us, I mean, if you look, Maura Lyonson, she actually sits in front of me in the White House briefing room, and she was way in the back. So it was a very interesting dynamic, and the way I understand it, they may change that for the next one, but they're still learning. There is a big learning curve.
Is there a next one?
I'm sure he said he enjoyed it. He said, can't you tell him enjoyed it? I don't know him yet. So I said, he seemed to enjoy it. It was very painful for us, but pleasurable for him. But he said he enjoyed it. So we'll see. It probably will be another one.
Needs to ask themselves, how would you react if that were your boss coming in and giving a speech to the employees where you work? How would you react if that was somebody in your family that you were trying to have a conversation with? You would think, this is very difficult to assess in a positive way. The person is not dealing with the world in which we live. He said things that weren't true. He was called out by one reporter. You said you had the biggest electoral victory since Reagan. That's not true. And he said, well, somebody gave me that information. The buck stops there? Is that where we are with this presidency? You said it. Own the words. You were wrong. But it's not just about electoral votes. It's about the fact that he's still fixated on whether or not he legitimately won the presidency. President Trump, if you're watching, you're the president. You legitimately won the presidency. Now get to work and stop whining about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Thank you very much.
Stop.
I just wanted to begin by mentioning that we're becoming a drug-infested nation. Drugs are becoming cheaper than candy bars. Candy bars. Candy bars. Drug-infested candy bars. I am talking and really talking because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Aww. Honestly, the press has become so dishonest. Aww. Tomorrow they will say, Donald Trump rants and raves. Donald Trump rants and raves. I'm not ranting and raving. I'm not ranting and raving. I'm just telling you. You know, you're dishonest people. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. As you know, our administration inherited many problems. To be honest, I inherited a mess. It's a mess. A mess. A disaster, folks. It's a disaster. A disaster. I just want to let you know. I inherited a mess. A mess. A mess. It's a mess. Chaos. A mess.
Chaos.
Beginning on day one, our administration went to work to tackle these challenges.
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 I've also worked to install a cabinet that will be one of the great cabinets ever assembled in American history. One of the great cabinets for decades, decades and decades and decades, folks. And with that, I just say, God bless America, and let's take some questions.
Aren't you concerned, sir, that you are undermining the people's faith in the First Amendment, freedom of the press in this country, when you call stories you don't like fake news?
I see why tone. Not? You know the word tone. The tone is such hatred. I'm really not a bad person, by the way. But the tone is such hatred. The tone. You look at your show that goes on at 10 o'clock in the evening. You just take a look at that show. That is a constant hit. The panel is almost always exclusive anti-Trump. I turn on the TV, I watch it, I see it. I'm amazed by it. The tone is such hatred. The tone. And I just think you'd be a lot better off, I honestly do, by being different. But I know what's good. I know what's bad. Sometimes something that should be very positive, they'll make okay. I don't mind bad stories. I can handle a bad story better than anyone. If you were straight and really hold it like it is, I would be your biggest booster. I would be your biggest fan in the world. I mean, it's story after story after story after story after story after story after story is bad. I won. I guess it was the biggest electoral college win since Ronald Reagan. The biggest electoral college win since Ronald Reagan. So that's the way it goes.
You said today that you had the biggest electoral margin since Ronald Reagan with 304 or 306 electoral votes. In fact, President Obama got 365.
Well, I'm talking about Republican.
Obama, 332, yep. And George H.W. Bush, 426 when he won as president. So why should Americans trust
him? Well, no, I was told, I was given that information. I don't know. I was just given. We had a very, very big margin.
I guess my question is, why should Americans trust you when you accuse the information they receive of being fake when you're providing information that's fake?
Well, I don't know. I was given that information. I've seen that information around. I hope going forward we can be a little bit different and maybe get along a little bit better if that's possible. Well, maybe it's not, and that's okay, too. I'm really not a bad person.
I love conspiracy theories. My favorite, one of my favorite ones is that... people think that we never landed on the moon. They think that we faked it. They get very mad, even though it was like 40 years ago. They'll say, we never landed on the moon. It's a conspiracy. And it goes all the way to the top. All right, let's say that we did fake it. Who cares? Who cares? Like, what's the craziest thing that happened? Like, maybe we ticked off the Russians. Maybe Neil Armstrong got laid a few more times. Hey, come closing time. That moon credit really gets your foot in the door. In fact, I think that's the only way that you could get mad. Like, if Neil Armstrong had sex with your girlfriend, then you could dissect the footage. I'd be like, honey, look at this. Honey, look at the flag moves. He puts the flag into the moon, but it's moving, and though there's no, it's there, and you can't see any stars in the picture. There, you can't. You know why you can't see any stars? Because you're a whore. Because you. I go out of town for 3 days, and you're porking astronauts. You're off the softball team. That guy has a softball team. I think if Elvis did fake his own death, by now he's probably dead anyway. I don't really see that guy pulling through to present day. Because even back when people thought that they were seeing him all of the time, it didn't sound like he was getting his act together. Like you see, and they'd be like, I saw Elvis in a bar. I saw Elvis in a truck stop eating pancakes. You know, nobody ever saw him, like, making a salad or pricing out Nordic tracks or something. That guy died in the woods in 1985. That's a best case scenario. It's always been a dream of mine to get my name into the Guinness Book of World Records. And it's a pretty big book. I always figured there had to be a couple easy ones in there that it kind of slipped through the cracks that I could do. You know, like most part Irish. Two weeks without eating vegetables, something. But then I finally read the book, and they're all hard. Every one is a very difficult world record. I saw one. This is real. I saw one. This guy won the record for most unusual diet because he can eat an airplane. He eats airplanes. And he won most unusual diet. I don't know, man. I just hope Al Qaeda doesn't get a hold of this guy. I mean, you're on your connecting flight to Jacksonville or something. You look over and this guy's like, ah. Ah. Oh, I should have started with the seats. Calm down. I filled up on seats. And then for the next 20 years, no one can go through the gate with a napkin tucked into their collar. Because we're a nation of fear mongers.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, it's like ring, ring, ring.
Ring, ring, ring. Here we go.
Hi, Alex. Oh, Mr. President. What's going on? Well, we're moving the agenda forward to cut taxes. What do you think? Well, I'd like to know about those secret space bases. Well, Alex, you've got to come to Trump Tower for those meetings.
Bye. succeed as a country, we must realize the full potential of women in our economy. That is why I was thrilled to host the White House's Women's Business Leaders Roundtable. Very exciting, great women.
Based on her picture, I would never take her. She looks like a Nick. Third grade hooker.
Believe me, we announced the creation of the Joint United States-Canada Council for Advancement of Women Entrepreneurs and Business Leaders. Actually, very exciting.
I would never take that. She's not even attractive. She's not a good-looking girl. 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 She's not a good-looking girl.
She's a slob.
Who the fuck? It's total bullshit, and, you know, it's not right.
I campaigned on helping women in the workforce, and we are going to deliver on that promise, believe me. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Grab him by the pussy.
Very exciting, great women.
For the ethical treatment of animals has been trying to get they've been campaigning for ice cream companies to make ice cream out of human breast milk. That's a great idea. I just love that there's a guy with all that's going on in the world right now, that there's a guy at PETA, and he was just sitting at his desk one day and he's like, wait a minute, how do they make ice cream? That is terrible. That is cruel. They should do that to women. Not to the who gives a shit cows. Make the broads do it. Let's say that catches on. This is my impression of me at every birthday party from now until I die. Here we go. I'll just have the cake. Just the cake. Just the cake!
Fellow Americans, we have taken major steps during the first few weeks of my administration to remove wasteful regulations and get our people back to work. I've been saying I was going to do that for a long time. This week, I signed two pieces of legislation to remove burdens on our economy, continue to keep my promises to the American people, and so much more. I signed House Joint Resolution 38, which eliminates an anti-coal regulation put forward by unelected bureaucrats. Our coal miners have been treated horribly, and we are going to turn that around, and we're going to turn it around quickly. We are going to fight for lower energy prices for all Americans, as part of the deal. That's why I also signed a resolution to eliminate a costly regulation Dodd-Frank imposed on American energy companies. By stopping this regulation, we are able to save American companies and workers millions and millions of dollars in job-killing compliance costs. But to truly succeed as a country, we must realize the full potential of women in our economy. That is why I was thrilled to host the White House's Women's Business Leaders Roundtable. Very exciting, great women. As president, I am committed to ensuring that women entrepreneurs have equal access to the capital, markets, and networks of support that they need, and I mean really need, and it's going to happen. This is a priority for my administration. I campaigned on helping women in the workforce, and we are going to deliver on that promise, believe me. In fact, as part of my first official meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, this week, we announced the creation of the Joint United States-Canada Council for Advancement of Women Entrepreneurs and Business Leaders. Actually, very exciting. The United States also reaffirmed our unbreakable bond this week with our cherished ally, Israel. It was an honor to welcome my friend, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, to the White House. I affirm to the Prime Minister America's commitment to working with Israel and our allies and partners toward greater security and stability. The threat of terrorism, and believe me, it is a threat, must be confronted and defeated, and we will defeat it. We share with Israel a deep conviction that we must protect all innocent human life. So as you head into President's Day weekend, the American people should know that we are working tirelessly on your behalf. We are not here for the benefit of bureaucrats, consultants, or pundits. We are here to work for you and only for you, the American people. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Like, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I only hear what I want to.
A record of the delightful piece they're going to play this evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen.
We've been waiting for is here.
I have something to tell you.
Thank you.
that Israel has demonstrated, and we use those their example a lot. They've demonstrated the efficacy of a barrier, a physical barrier. But I think the bigger picture here is that as a group of nations, we need to understand that America is the world's flagship of freedom. And if we don't have a secure border, that hurts everyone in the long run.
But what do you do if it costs? I mean, if this costs dozens of billions of dollars, and I hear you saying, you're saying maybe part of it is a fence, maybe part of it is a wall, there's going to be a barrier. Mm-hmm. But this comes at a steep cost. And obviously Republicans want to go back, many of them, I'm assuming you do, to their fiscally conservative roots. What do you do about that cost?
Well, you know, I haven't changed my mind about being fiscally conservative, and I appreciate the assumption. It turns out this time it was correct. But the reality, Brianna, is that we have to measure all of the costs, ancillary and otherwise, and make the best decision that we can. But I can suggest to you that there are national security implications here for a porous border. You know, we sometimes used to make the point that, you know, if someone wanted to smuggle in a dangerous weapon, even a nuclear weapon, into America, how would they do it? And the suggestion was made, well, we'll simply hide it in a bale of marijuana.
It's just so ridiculous.
And so the implications of a porous border have national security dimensions that are very significant and that bear a lot of consideration when we talk about costs.
Duck and cover. Duck and cover.
All I wanna do is drive home to you. Is one of the goals here mass deportation?
No.
Not at all.
This isn't, look, I think what we have to get back to is understanding a couple things. There's a law in place that says, you know, if you're in this country illegally, that we have an obligation to make sure that the people who are in this in our country are here legally. What the order sets out today is ensures that the million or so people that have been adjudicated already, that there's a that ICE prioritizes, creates a system of prioritization, and make sure that we walk through that system in a way that protects this country. This is consistent with everything the president has talked about, which is prioritizing the people who are here who represent a threat to public safety or have a criminal record. And all this does is lay out the exact procedures to make sure that that subgroup of people who pose a threat to our nation because of a conviction or a violation of public safety or have a criminal record are adjudicated first and foremost. That's it, plain and simple.
So stealthy, so secretive. Everyone loves your haircut, but no one knows who your baba is.
What's the main difference between Trump and Obama when it comes to immigration? A lot of people are saying that Obama did the same thing with immigration that Trump is doing right now. So why is everyone so upset at Trump? I'm Kat, and this is Why Though. So this episode is gonna be a doozy. Before we start, y'all might wanna get your tea, coffee, shots of vodka, whatever ready. Let me start off by saying that Obama was not as light on immigration as a lot of people think. He actually has the record for the largest number of deportations of any US president. They are mostly illegal Mexican immigrants. Now, Trump is as hard on immigration as you might have imagined. Here's a quick example comparing their two positions on immigration. Just imagine Obama and Trump both have castles. Both want to build a moat around their castle to keep bad elves out. Obama builds a moat around his castle. He hires guards to guard the moat. He still has a drawbridge there to let elves from other kingdoms who aren't criminals freely pass through. He occasionally kicks out 1.5 million elves who are too close to the moat. If elves come up to his drawbridge legally but don't speak English, he's okay with that. Now imagine Donald Trump's castle. He wants to build a big, beautiful moat around his castle. Then he wants to build a moat around that moat. Then he wants to dump 15-foot crocodiles into both moats. But that's not all. He wants to hire guards to protect the moats and hire dragons to fly over the castle for surveillance. Then he wants to hang a sign over the castle that says, "If you don't speak English, I don't know you. Don't even try to get inside of my castle, you thuggish elves." And then Trump goes even further. He says that if you're from any of these Muslim kingdoms, you can't get into my castle, even if you're not a criminal elf, even if you're an American elf with dual kingdom citizenship, even if you're a young scholar that was already born inside the castle. Oh, and by the way, Mexico is gonna pay for the moat. Both these scenarios are totally legal. Trump and Obama can constitutionally block people from entering the US. Now, whether it's moral or good foreign policy is up for debate. Immigration, elves, 15-foot crocodiles. Got it?
Actually, I had to go to the doctor recently. I woke up one day with this like crazy rash all over my, and it turned out to be allergies, but at the time I didn't know what it was. So I went to this doctor. I went to this place called Docs, and I walk in and I go, "Hey man, do you know what this is?" And he goes, "Huh? I don't know what that is. Tell you what, I'm gonna give you some pills, and if they don't work, you're gonna have to see somebody else." And he charged me $300, and it didn't work. And I did have to see somebody else, and I was furious. And I Googled this guy. I swear, I Googled my doctor's name, and I found out where he went to medical school. The name of the medical school that he went to was called the Autonomous University of Guadalajara. The Autonomous University of Guadalajara. And listen, I'm not a xenophobe. And I'm not saying you got to go to Harvard or Johns Hopkins to get a load of me. I'm just saying, you know, maybe go to a school that I've heard of before or that sounds real or doesn't have the word autonomous in it. Is this where you go when your scores aren't good enough for the Cancun Fixie People place? Yeah, I graduated at the Autonomous University of Guadalajara, and I did my residency over at Mi Casa Sioux Hospital. It's kind of a hut on the side of an active volcano. We got a lot of patients. Pretty standard stuff, though. You know, lava burns, donkey bites. We got a lot of donkey bites. Now, it's funny, when I first moved here and opened up my practice, I just thought everything was donkey bites. I'd say, sounds like you got donkey bites. You don't have a donkey? Well, how do you get up and down the volcano?
Feeling angry? Tired of bigotry and racism? Are you experiencing spontaneous bouts of complaining? Do you find yourself triggered by just about anything? Then you may be suffering from ITS, Irritable Trump Syndrome.
Also known as Trumproids.
ITS is an infection of the mind caused by the rapid spread of bullshit, propaganda, and fear. As ITS attacks your consciousness, it calcifies the pineal gland, inhibiting critical thinking and the ability to receive information that challenges a pre-existing programmed paradigm. Other symptoms may include self-righteousness, blame, passive aggression, validation through social media, circular argument, depression, arrogance, stubbornness, herd mentality, attacking those who do not agree with standing you, in solidarity, constipation, stress, statism, extreme cognitive dissonance, excuses to drink, meanness, smugness, bullying, denial, white guilt, hate, thinking you're smarter than everyone, and in some extreme cases, Trump worship. In the last few months, ITS has gone viral and it's memeing hard. It seems to be infecting everybody. Well, we're here to tell you there's hope. The cure to ITS is easier than you think. First, turn off your television and sign out of Facebook. Next, go outside. You remember outside, right? Say hi to your neighbor and listen to what he has to say. Watch out though, his kindness may surprise you. Great! Now that you've calmed the down a bit, go ahead and ask yourself some bigger questions, like, what is my purpose? How can I grow and be myself to the fullest of my potential? Why does the government infringe on my basic human rights? Why is there war? Why do I have to pay to be alive? How can I leave this world a better place than how I found it? What can I do to help? By reducing your ITS inflammation, you can help reduce flare-ups in others.
When my Trumproids were raging, I thought the swelling would never go down. But then I remembered that I'm the cure, and the answers I seek are within. I guess you could say, I trumped my roids.
But whatever you do, don't consult your doctor about ITS. This message is brought to you by the Universe, Great Spirit, and Source Energy, in conjunction with Mother Nature, Earth, and all those who came before you who dared to step away from the herd and stayed woke. Irritable Trump Syndrome. Just get over it already.
You know, if Trump is this new stage of politics or a new type of politician, what kind of person do you think would be, like, literally the perfect person to run this country? And what would the perfect person do?
Ron Paul? Yeah, Ron Paul's great. But I think it's somebody who's worked hard in private business, who really has a sense of success, who loves America, who has been through the gauntlet of demonization and attacks and dealt with it.
Yes.
I think it's Donald Trump. I mean, you look at what he's been through, man. Who's been through this?
Think about
and been a winner over, and I'm not in some cult of Donald Trump.
Right.
In fact, I want to hate him. I want to not believe he's so good. But man, when he calls up and can like read your mind and knows what you were just thinking about, you're like, man, this guy is like God of the devil.
This tax thing is very fascinating. It's going to be very interesting.
He's
going to
raise taxes on rich
that.
People.
It seemed, to me,
I'll pay it.
The mainstream media is doing
billionaires are going to pay.
To me, every time I turn on my iPhone, You know what? I didn't ask for Fox News Bulletin.
They force feed you.
They force feed me every morning. CNN. So when
I
turn on my phone,
they don't feed you Joe Rogan Experience or InfoWars. Yeah. That's why you got to search it out. Because Joe's real, I'm real, you're real. Whether we're perfect or not, it matter. We want to be real. Everyone should human intelligence support this podcast and InfoWars and the Joe Rogan Experience and make this dominant, which it already is. Just to say, listen, bitches, you may force feed Eddie Bravo a bunch of CNN Fox News shit every morning, but you're getting the Joe Rogan Experience up your ass.
Whoa. Holy
Jesus
shit.
Christ. That was amazing. You went there.
That's not even funny.
Even rock bottom has a wiggle room.
For some reason, people seem to think we should be cheering on Homeland Security, an agency built on a lie that should not even exist, by the way. DHS is sweeping new powers via Trump's executive orders to conduct mass raids all across America in what Trump himself literally referred to as a military operation in America's streets.
And they're the bad ones. And it's a military operation.
So let me get this straight. That's awesome now. And we should also make sure and dehumanize people too and call them illegals. Like that is a noun, or that a human being can be illegal, so it makes it easier to cheer on the government Gestapo squads rounding up people like cattle. And it's not like our government's economic raping and pillaging of these countries to begin with, the gun and drug running, the endless wars, the backroom deals, NAFTA, Walmart, stuff like that. It's not like any of that stuff caused this immigration crisis in the first place. Let's run begging to the state that caused the very problem we want fixed. Beg them to fix it by cracking down on us and turning this whole place into an even bigger papers, please, police state, which impedes on everyone's civil liberties. That makes sense, right? That makes sense. I mean, it isn't like this government has ever authorized the roundup and internment of American citizens, people who were born here during World War II, and forced them out of their homes and businesses and jobs and forced them into camps and destroy their lives or anything like that. I mean, there's no way something like that could ever happen again, could it? I mean, it isn't like the Pentagon was forced to release a video recently via FOIA which proves they're training for urban warfare in the streets because they know by 2030 there's going to be rage and outcry over the lack of employment.
Social structures will be equally challenged if not dysfunctional, as historic ways of life clash with modern living, ethnic and racial differences are forced to live together, and criminal networks offer opportunity for the growing mass of unemployed.
You know, stuff like that. By the way, saying it's already a papers, please, police state is not a valid argument as to why we should all champion on and campaign for our further enslavement. In fact, the punchline on that came yesterday when it was reported that U.S. citizens were being detained and ID'd getting off of a domestic flight within the United States from San Francisco to JFK Airport. That's right, because we aren't already treated like criminal cattle when we get on the plane to begin with. We aren't already forced to take off our half-inch thick flip-flops because we might be hiding a bomb in our toenails or something, and go through a radiating body scanner or get groped by some sweaty middle-aged people who look like they wear trench coats and hand out candy at the park on a Sunday afternoon from their white windowless van or anything like that. We aren't already guilty until proven innocent every single time we step into an airport. But hey, there might be one illegal immigrant on the plane. Begging the question, by the way, Homeland Security, how did an illegal immigrant even get on a plane anyway if TSA does its job so damn well? But there wasn't an illegal immigrant on the plane. Just a bunch of legal American citizens who were stopped and, wait for it, because here's the punchline, asked for their papers, please. In fact, it says when Delta Flight 1583 from San Francisco landed in New York around 8:30 p.m., there were customs agents stationed on either side of the plane door, and as the plane landed, passengers were told to take out their papers. The head flight attendant came on and said, "Please have your papers ready 3 or 4 times," said Matt O'Rourke of Manhattan. Someone corrected her, and she said, "Oh, I mean photo IDs," he added, to which people were kind of weirded out. Yeah. And he said they studied everyone's ID very carefully. You could tell they weren't just looking for my name. They read my entire ID and looked at me the entire time and probably made him feel like a total criminal because he dared to get on a plane in his home country and fly from one part of it to another part of it. This is a dragnet. It's a Gestapo dragnet, and it targeted everyone. And there were no illegal immigrants. There were just American citizens being treated even more like slaves than usual at the airport, which is already a place that we all get treated like slaves at. But hey, if that's not enough for you, there's always the supreme enemy of civil liberties, Jeff Sessions, who took his throne behind his cush new desk at the DOJ. You know Sessions, right? The guy who supports things like civil asset forfeiture and said he's, quote, a big fan of the DEA. Well, that day, Sean Spicer came out and said the feds are going to start ramping up their phony war against a harmless plant.
With Jeff Sessions over at the Department of Justice as AG, what's going to be the Trump administration's position on marijuana legalization where it's in a state-federal conflict like this?
There's two distinct issues here, medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. I think medical marijuana, I've said before that the president understands the pain and suffering that many people go through who are facing especially terminal diseases and the comfort that some of these drugs, including medical marijuana, can bring to them. There's a big difference between that and recreational marijuana. And I think that when you see something like the opioid addiction crisis blossoming in so many states around this country, the last thing that we should be doing is encouraging people. There is still a federal law. There is still a federal law that we need to abide by in terms of the medical, when it comes to recreational marijuana and other drugs of that nature. So I think there's a big difference.
The implication being that the Trump administration is now going to go against the will of the voters in 8 states who have passed recreational marijuana laws, including the entire west coast of the country, something that only 59% of all Americans approve at this point in time, because it's been 80 years since Reefer Madness came out, and the majority of us have wised up to the fact that countless scientific studies prove that marijuana has a legitimate benefit, and there's no reason it should still be illegal, and the only reason it is still illegal is because of the phony drug war not only funds and justifies an entire criminal justice and prison industrial complex in this country where they put more people away per capita than in any other country on the face of the earth, but every time a state legalizes marijuana, pharmaceutical companies lose profits on their addictive painkillers, which may or may not have come up in the meeting, by the way, that all of the heads of these major pharmaceutical companies had with Trump at the White House just a few weeks ago. But where are they going to put all those people? Just leave that to Sessions, who on the same day Spicer was announcing this new ramped up war on legal recreational marijuana, announced they're also going to be reversing the move to phase out the disastrous human rights abusing, self-fulfilling prophecies that are the private for-profit prisons that Sessions loves so much. He's only been supporting them for 2 decades and has an intimate relationship with many of the larger companies. They're going to need all those prisons to lock up even more people for nonviolent drug offenses, despite the plant being fully legal in 16% of the country now, with another 17 states in the process of fully legalizing it. And while all of this is going on, in the foreground, in the background, they're looking at a long-term commitment to operations in Iraq. They're about to send even more troops to Syria, and a U.S. aircraft carrier strike group is antagonizing China in the South Sea because our new Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, just can't wait to go to war with China.
We're going to have to send China a clear signal that first, the island building stops, and second, your access to those islands is also not going to be allowed.
Just like Steve Bannon said we would no doubt be doing within the next 10 years. And no one's even mentioned Afghanistan, which is now America's longest war. Either you see what's happening here, or you don't. But I just want to know, when did we all hop into a time machine and go back to the Bush days? When did that happen? I must have missed it when I was too busy yelling.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Every change from the grimsome bullying plane. Gonna exercise that brain to break the chain. Pain is a part of game. No need to explain. What? We innovate to generate it, intricately interwoven tapestry, musical and ethical epiphany. The image is minimal, I'm on a muscle, messing with the anchor that can take it all away. The way the sun is black, I run a lever, run a sign, I turn it through a simple simile, a simple sentiment, adrenaline is coming back. I'm in a minute, city, what a die to be a superstar. I'd rather be a galaxy behind your tears. So depending on the medicine and rhetoric and how I'm bending, any second of your thinking is I'm sitting at the brink of this world is all asleep. And I have no apologies. I breathe, keep my side on what we ride on. Let bygones be bygones. The migraines don't sidetrack my final destination. Nothing rivals pure determination to exterminate the germination of a nation that accepts anything that's thrown in its fat face. Cause when there's nothing left, there's no more point to the rat race. We don't waste a minute of the day. Don't be offended when I'm saying finna send it all the way another stage. A creative alternative, rated and graded, a crazy maniac melody getting all up in your face. Wait, success ain't only based on self-esteem. It takes a sense to differentiate between what's yours and someone else's dreams. I felt the screams climbing up my cold spine, saying now it's the time. Gotta give it all my energy to get rid of the enemy and set it so. Here,
GoFindTheOthers.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.